Good evening. I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 5. We'll be looking at the second of John's great visions in the book of Revelation. We've already seen in chapter 4 God sitting upon His throne in heaven, this great scene of worship, the four beasts and the 24 elders around, the holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And chapter 5 continues the same story, the same vision. There is a chapter division, but in many ways there is no division. This picks up as it continues. Revelation 5, beginning in verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And thou hast made us to our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as in the sea and all that are in them I heard saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this service and for those that are gathered here to worship you, the living and true God. We just ask that it might be a time where we do that, worship you in spirit and in truth. May this be pleasing in your sight. For it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. So in chapter 5, John begins with the opening words that we'll see very commonly in Revelation. He says, And I saw. I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Literally, it says it was on his hand. The idea is probably that of sitting on his open palm. There is a book. Book in the sense that they used book at the time. It was a scroll. A book like this one here, bounds. Book, a codex, was not invented until the 2nd century. And it was actually Christians that invented it as a way to hold the entirety of the scriptures. But it is a scroll. And it's written within, which is on the inside, which is now rolled up, and on the backside. Now, when you had a scroll, a document, you would write on the front, with it was within, because that's the way it writes smoothly because of the grain of the papyrus or parchment or whatever your scroll is made out of. The backside is much more difficult to write on. But when you run out of space, you write on the back. So this is a large document. In fact, you'll notice Revelation, Matthew, Romans, Hebrews, all the longer books of the New Testament, they're almost exactly the same length because they're limited by the size of a normal scroll. So here is a scroll written on both sides, and it's totally sealed up. It's sealed with seven seals. Possibly you open one seal and you can read a little bit. You open another seal, you can read a little bit. But probably it's just seven seals on the outside. A Roman contract deed of extreme importance would be sealed with seven seals by seven different witnesses and would be opened only in the presence of those witnesses if they lived. And each witness would break their seal so that it could be revealed. We're going to read further on in the passage the mention again of the seven spirits of God, the sevenfold Holy Spirit. I think it's appropriate to tie that to the seven seals, seals by the Spirit. But the question is, what is this document? It's sitting on the hand of God, open for someone to take it. It's written on both sides, and it's completely sealed up seven times. This is obviously a document of great importance. I would say it's a document of unparalleled importance. But what is it? Well, the text does not say clearly, so I cannot give you a dogmatic answer. There are many, many views. Two of them stood out to me as interesting. One view held by Dr. W.A. Criswell, John MacArthur, and others, is that this is the title deed to the earth. I think that's a good view. I like that view. But I think the best view is that it contains not the rest of the book of Revelation as we have it written here, but God's actual plan for the future and consummation of the world. That it is the destiny and consummation of the earth. I believe that based... Well, I don't believe that, but it is my best guess based on the fact that it's the view that seems to stand the best to careful scrutiny out of the views that have been proposed. It could easily be something that I've never even thought of or have not read. But here is this book, presumably containing information of great importance regarding maybe the inheritance of the saints, but probably the destiny of the earth. And I saw a strong angel, a mighty angel. God sends a mighty angel just to be a messenger, proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" So he goes forth, presumably into all heaven, earth, everywhere, to cry out for someone to come and to take the book and to open it. Anyone. Because God Himself, He's not opening. He's going to set it forth so that for someone to come to Him and take it. "And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." Now, the King James says "no man." But the man really is not in the Greek. This is nobody, nothing, no angel. Even the angels of God are not worthy to take this book. Sinless, yes, but unworthy, because they are incapable of being the mediator between God and man. They're insufficient. They can't do it. Here's the Father with the scroll. He says, "Take it, whoever is worthy." But they can't. It has to be a man, but it has to be worthy. And John says, "I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." I can't even look at it. And John, sitting here, he's been promised to see, shall come hereafter. God is calling for someone to open the book, and the will of God seems to be not even done. And if this book is actually contains what John is to see, the future of the worlds, then it's over. His vision is over, and he has no future to see. And one of the elders, the 24 that sat around the throne, upon their own thrones, said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof." This is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. It's a reference back to Genesis chapter 49. Jacob, in his last hours, called all his sons to him, and he blessed them. Some of them, he was a little bit critical, but not for harsh reasons, not because he didn't love them, but simply because it was necessary. But to Judah, in verse 9, he says, "Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion. And as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall be the gathering of the people." Judah was the one whose descendants would rule. It was from Judah that David came. It's from Judah that Christ came. He says Christ is the Lion of Judah. Judah was a lion. He was strong among his brothers. King of the beasts, he prevailed. But the Lion from Judah is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the greater. And then he says, the Root of David. That's an allusion to Isaiah. I don't have my notes with me, but Isaiah speaks of a shoot from the stump of Jesse. The offspring of David who will come and rule, who will be the Messiah. But this is the Root. That's down deep. Not only is he the descendant of David, he is also the one who was before David, the one who brought David into his position. He is the Root of David. And he has prevailed. This is the same word that's been translated overcome many times. We see the letters to the churches, the promise to the overcomer. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcame and sat with my Father in his throne, etc. To the overcomer, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. He says, he, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed, has conquered, has overcome to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And John turns to look for the Lion. Verse 6, he says, "I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." So he looks for a lion, but he sees a lamb. Not only that, he sees a lamb standing as it had been slain. That's hard to picture. Here he is, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, that John the Baptist pointed to. And in John's vision, Jesus Christ appears as a meek and humble lamb, as one that's been slaughtered. I mean, the word is violence. He's been violently killed. But he's standing. Because Jesus Christ overcame by his death. The Lion of the tribe of Judah is overcome by being the sacrificial lamb. His victory was in his death. And this is critical in Revelation. Revelation is a book full of the Bible, as Dr. Patterson likes to put it. It's full of allusions to the rest of the Bible. Well, it's also a book full of the gospel. The key to understanding Revelation really is the gospel of Jesus Christ, just like every other book of the New Testament. or the Old Testaments. Revelation is built around this. In Revelation, we're going to see the saints overcome by their deaths, spoken of frequently. Death is a victory in Revelation when it's a death for Him, because Jesus also overcame by His death. This is the Lamb of God, spoken of so clearly in the Gospel of John, the one to whom John the Baptist pointed, the Lamb of God, God's sacrificial Passover Lamb who came to be slain in our place, the spotless Lamb, sinless Son of God who came into this world in order to be human like us, that He might live the sinless life and die our death on Calvary's cross to pay the penalty for our sin that we so richly deserve because we have rebelled against a holy God. That's the Lamb. And He has prevailed. And because He prevails by His death, He is able to take the book. That's why this book has to be something special, because Jesus Christ is the only one worthy to take it, and He is worthy to take it because of His death and for no other reason. That's why I say the consummation of the earth view, the destiny of the world and God's plan is the best view, because that destiny includes a redemption for you and for me, that we may be able, by the grace of God, to enter the kingdom of God, to rule and reign on the earth. And that is only possible by the blood of Jesus Christ. For there is no other way for a just God to allow a guilty sinner into His heaven. And He, the Lamb, came and took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat on the throne. And when He had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Odors, or incense. See, in chapter 4, we see God the Father on the throne. In chapter 5, Christ is introduced, as well as the Spirit mentioned in the seven eyes and the seven horns. This is a very Trinitarian passage. And now the worship of the Father leads directly to the worship of the Son. And the elders offer incense, which are the prayers of the saints, very sweet to the Father, for He loves the prayers of His saints, His holy ones. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands." The angelic hosts. It doesn't say anything about the hosts of the redeemed here, but the hosts of the angels, and their number is, the Greek is myriads of myriads. It means 10,000, but it also is just used in the sense of innumerable. Innumerable and innumerable. Thousands of thousands. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." What did they say in chapter 4? They said, "Worthy are You, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and thanks, because You created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Now in chapter 5, they say almost exactly the same thing. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory." Dr. Stephen Smith, who is Vice President of Student Services at Southwestern and one of the great preachers, one of the preaching professors, said he was trying to witness to a Jehovah's Witness lady one time. And he said, well, you know, we were talking about the deity of Jesus Christ, so I took her to the Gospels. He says she was bulletproof. I hit her with everything I could from the Gospels to prove the deity of Jesus Christ, and she had an answer for everything. He said, so I took her to Revelation chapters 4 and 5 and said, look at the praise given to the Father and the praise given to the Son. She had no answer. She didn't convert, but she couldn't answer that. Because Jesus Christ is fully God. And the worship of the Father leads naturally to the worship of the Son. The Father who created humanity and the Son who redeemed that humanity from its rebellion against God to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. Glory to His name. And every creature, everything which is on heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. So they worship the two together. Blessing, honor, glory, and power. May He receive everything. The Father who created, the Son who redeems. And they roll together. There's little emphasis on the Spirit here because the Spirit's role is to point to the Father and to the Son. And that is what He does here in this inspired word. And the four beasts said, literally they were saying repeatedly, Amen, let it be so. Strong confirmation. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever. Who's that? That's God. Is it the Father? Yes. Is it the Son? Yes. Is it the Spirit? Yes, they fell down and worshipped.